With Cardinal World Series champion Brad Thompson, I'm Randy Carricker. Keith Law has been a friend of the show since our first year back in 2009, and Keith has taken his talents to The Athletic and joins us now on 101 ESPN. Keith has his prospect rankings for the Cardinals out, and we're going to talk about that. Keith, great to have you with us again on 101 ESPN. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. Hey, let's start with Dylan Carlson, because I think, like a lot of people, when Dylan Carlson was drafted, you didn't think of as highly of him then as you do now. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. In fact, I just talked the other day to the scout who signed him, and I said, "You, great job. You saw something that most of us didn't, myself included."
Keith, so what has changed the most for you when you look at Dylan Carlson? We know the switch hitter, coach's son, fairly polished at a young age, but what has stood out or what grew the most in his game in your eyes?
There's two things. One is that, you said it, he's a very polished hitter. This kid takes incredible at-bats for someone so young. I saw him in spring training last year in a major league spring training game. He could not get over the quality of at-bats that he was having against major league pitching. I don't read into spring training stats, but hitters like that, especially, you're a minor league kid brought over for the day on a road trip, you're taking those at-bats seriously, and he did, and he showed incredible selectivity and pitch recognition. The other thing is, he's a better athlete than anyone gave him credit for out of high school. I think he's worked on his conditioning to be faster and looser, but he's turned into, I think, a legitimate center fielder. When he was first drafted, it was, he's a corner guy, he's going to end up at first base, he's got to play right. Now there's no question he stays in center. I think if there's a question, it's just how good he's going to be defensively. I think he's got a chance to be a star. And for a guy who at that point I think was seen by a lot of teams as a second or third rounder, give the Cardinals amateur department a lot of credit. They took a bit of a risk, but they obviously believed in their evaluations. So far, it looks like they were right.
Keith, I'm interested as you do your prospect evaluations, and I mean, you do a fantastic job. You dig deep. How much do you dig into, or do you? Like, does it even factor in the makeup of a player? Because the only reason I ask is just thinking about Dylan Carlson. The last couple of years, I've had the opportunity to be around him more and more. I'm just kind of blown away with, like, how much of a pro he is already. Does that factor in when you're looking at guys, or can it?
It is a factor, because I think it's a factor where it matters on the field, right? Your ability to learn, your ability and willingness to make adjustments, your effort level. Those things absolutely play in. They play into, one, how good of a player you can become, because I think better makeup helps. You don't have to have good makeup, but it certainly helps your case. And second is, how do teams value you? There are players in the minors who are pretty talented, but who are seen, rightly or wrongly, as having inferior makeup. And the industry values those guys at a lower level because, we don't want to get this guy. He's not a good teammate. He is not coachable. He doesn't play hard. He has a low motor. I hear those phrases all the time. I don't really repeat them. I don't want to be out there slandering a player if that's actually not true. But what I do want to do is consider it in my evaluation and my rankings.
Keith, one other question about the approach, because we learned that Dylan Carlson grew up around a baseball family. His dad is a coach, had been a coach in California for years and years. Along those lines, in evaluating a player, does the fact that he is a coach's son play a role for you? Obviously, he needs talent, but how much does that help?
It could go either way. There are plenty of prospects who are coaches' sons of former major leaguers who don't have that work ethic. They had a lot of things handed to them. Things came a little easy. People were always sort of showing them favoritism, and it doesn't work out. I always consider it. I hear it. If someone tells me, he's a coach's son, he's got good feel for the game, he's polished, he's advanced. Okay, that's good to know. Let him go out and prove it. And then I will accept that much more readily as an explanation for why he is what he is. But I won't just accept that without first seeing some kind of evidence on the field that it's playing out.
The other position player that the Cardinals are talking about, and you have ranked number 3 among Cardinal prospects, is Nolan Gorman. From what you've observed, what do you expect him to become?
I think he is in the Joey Gallo vein of player. Now, maybe not quite as extreme. Maybe he doesn't have the 50 homer power. Maybe it's 35 to 40 homer power. I don't think he's going to hit .195 in some seasons like Gallo has, but it's the same high strikeout, otherworldly power, somewhat low batting average. Gorman's a better infielder today than Gallo, I think, ever was. He may not have Gallo's cannon of an arm, but he's a better defensive third baseman. That's the kind of player I see him becoming, an above average regular, definitely stays at third for me, hits for power, maybe a 5 or 6 hole hitter in a typical lineup because there's some on-base ability, but he's really in the lineup for the power.
One of the Cardinal prospects that you have ranked, I think might catch a few Cardinal fans by surprise that don't dig into the minor leagues as much. Your number 4 is a catcher. And maybe Cardinal fans are thinking right now, oh, it's Andrew Kisner, right? It's not. It's Ivan Herrera. What do you see in Herrera? And by the way, Kisner, you have ranked right behind him at number 5, who's hit at every single level. But what do the Cardinals have in Herrera?
Well, in Herrera, they have more of a two-way player. Kisner is an offensive catcher where there's still a lot of question of whether he's really a good enough defensive catcher to play every day. Herrera, younger, farther from the big leagues, but a chance to be an impact guy on both sides of the ball. Definitely a catcher, good receiver, good arm, chance to really hit. And some scouts I spoke to about him, I saw him in the fall league. He was the youngest or second youngest player there. So I don't read too much into my evaluation of him from that look, but scouts who saw him over the course of the regular season were very impressed by where he is currently defensively and the kind of upside they potentially saw from him. I think for him, it's largely going to be about just tightening the approach at the plate, something that most young hitters end up having to work from. Unless they come out like Dylan Carlson, they all end up having to work on their approach.
Keith Law of The Athletic with us on 101 ESPN, talking Cardinal prospects. A guy that has caught the eye of people down in Jupiter, Keith, is Cody Whitley. You have him as the number 18 prospect. He's a hard thrower. Tell us what the Cardinals have in Cody Whitley.
Well, I think a reliever, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Maybe a guy who could move quickly, who could get there quickly, help the Major League club this year. The way I tend to do my rankings for most clubs, you'll see the relievers further down the list because they have less upside, right? The value of a good reliever is probably not much more than the value of just an average starter. And so the Cardinals have more guys who are, I think, potentially average big league starters or everyday players than they have. That's why a guy like Whitley is further down the list for them, where he's potentially a good reliever, but I think that's ultimately all he is.
Keith, I know that having a good farm system isn't the be-all, end-all, and it can change by just getting a guy like Dylan Carlson in who gets to that point, and maybe that escalates you a little bit. But I look at your rankings, and I see the Reds at 23. I see the Cubs at 28, and I see the Milwaukee Brewers in dead last as far as 30th go. So when you look at the future of these organizations within the Central, I mean, is it really is the future of it that far away from each other? I mean, are these farm systems as far off as they seem like they are?
I think there's a big gap between the Cardinals and Pirates and then the other three.
Yeah.
And there might even be a gap between the Cardinals and the Pirates, and that's on the development side. Whereas the Pirates have brought a lot of talent into the system, but they have not had as much success developing that talent. Whereas the Cardinals, I might actually argue, have brought less talent into their system, but done a much better job of developing it. The Cardinals have really had a lot of success. I'm not taking away from their drafts or their international side. They've just done a really nice job of getting more out of players. Players go into that system, and they seem to get better. And that's not something you can say about a lot of player development systems. I think it's one of the hardest jobs in all of baseball and one of the hardest things for anyone to evaluate, inside or outside. The easiest thing to do, though, is to point at a club like the Cardinals and say, hey, guys go there, they enter that system, and they get better. That, to me, is the ultimate mark of player development. When multiple guys are improving, all different kinds of players, you're doing something right. I think the Cardinals are.
Keith, maybe this is reflected in your rankings. Maybe it's not. But do you have an organization or any organizations in general that, as far as you're concerned, are historically behind as far as just evaluation in general goes? Not even just the getting guys in the organization and developing, but evaluating in the first place.
It changes, right, as regimes change in different front offices. I'll tell you right now, I have sort of highly criticized the Phillies amateur scouting department over the last few years because they had a run of really poor first-round picks, and I said a lot of it was just process. They were picking the wrong guys. They were evaluating the wrong guys. Well, since then, they've made a change to both the leadership on the amateur side and the process, the front office's role in picking those players. And I think they've been better the last few years. So it varies. You could ask me that question today, who's struggling at scouting, who's struggling at development. My answers are going to differ as personnel change from team to team over different eras.
Keith, you mentioned in your piece that the Cardinals are going to suffer from that 2017 draft where they lost their top two picks due to the hacking case. And the only guy they have on your list from that draft is Cody Whitley. When you look at their system, do they have enough to overcome that bad draft in 2017?
They do, fortunately, and they've had some other years where they had some extra picks, and I think did a lot with them. I think Carlson and Dakota Hudson were both extra picks in a subsequent draft. And so, you know, if you nail a draft right after that one, especially one where you have extra picks, which either lets you get extra players or consolidate the money maybe and go after a higher ceiling player with a second or third round pick, yes, you can overcome that. And I think that they have really done so successfully.
Hey, Keith, there's a team in the NL East that nobody's going to talk about all season long, so I'll get it out of the way right here. The Marlins. You have them at eighth on your list. And look, for me, it's the first time in a long time where I've looked at the Marlins and say, well, at least they look like they have an idea. They have a plan. Derek Jeter and their regime, are they heading in the right direction?
Yes, I think so. They've brought over a lot of people from the Yankees front office. Scouting department, player development, changed a lot of processes, really ramped up their analytics efforts. I think across the board, they're doing things differently. And frankly, now they're also trying to keep prospects, where for a while, you know, sort of this boom and bust cycle, get a few prospects, trade them, try to be good, tear everything down, find some new prospects, or maybe just trade a bunch of players to dump their salaries. Well, since they got rid of Stanton, they've actually started trying to acquire some prospects again. And I think it shows. I think that system is much improved. It's the highest I've ever rated them since I started doing farm system rankings. And the other thing is they actually started spending money in Latin America. They were only one of two clubs that just never did anything on the international market. They've started doing that. Edward Cabrera is probably the best prospect they've produced out of Latin America in maybe 10 years or more. And that's also starting to show.
Keith Law, we love what you're doing at The Athletic. We know that you've got a book out, and that has kept you busy as well. And we know you're having fun with it. We appreciate you taking some time with us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
That is Keith Law from The Athletic with us on 101 ESPN. Read his work. It's really fantastic, and
he
it's fun.
A good job. Yeah, his second book is coming out. It's called The Inside Game, Bad Calls, Strange Moves, and What Behavior in Baseball Teaches Us About Ourselves. So it should be a good read.
Coming up in the Fast Lane, believe it or not, someone actually went to Chuck E. Cheese and had a bad time. We'll tell you the story next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.